Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today and our teaching. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him that he might bless the teaching and bless his word and bless you also. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray a blessing to those that will receive your word today. Let the anointing be rich here today. Let my lips and my mind, my thoughts be anointed. And God, let your people receive it and it fall upon good soil and good ground and give increase to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to look today in Romans, the first chapter, in verse 1 through verse 11. And the key verse of that is verse 11. And I want to teach on a subject, established, and what it means. We find these words in Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Then in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. There's those words, you may be established. Paul's understanding, and he spoke of the Romans, and he said that he prayed for them, and he said he was hoping that by the will of God he could come to them, and the purpose for that was that he might impart to them some spiritual gift, that they might be established. God's will is for you to be established. Now, let's look at some more understanding on this. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 19, Paul said to the Galatians, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Here Paul is explaining how that he tarried with them, he worked with them, he labored with them until Christ was formed in them. You do not walk out or walk in, however you want to say it. You don't walk out of the world. You don't walk in church and go from a prior to a prophet in 15 minutes. It takes some time to be established. It takes reading the Word of God, studying, praying. It takes being put through persecutions and trials and all these things. And to that end, wherein you can be established. It's easy to explain it this way. You can't take a baby and take a T-bone steak and fry it up or bake it up or whatever you want to do to it and put it down on the plate and say, here, eat it. That little baby can't do that. He's got to have it strained and ground up until he or she, the little baby, grows teeth and a strong enough digestive system to wherein that they can chew and take in solid meat. A babe in Christ is the same way. We don't want to choke nobody out with the Word of God. We want you to grow and be strong. And to that end, I pray the same thing Paul prayed, that you might be established. Then in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20 and in verse 20, part B. This is known as scriptural 2020. This is how to have 2020 vision. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. All this is based, my friend, on God and God's word. If you want to be established, you've got to be in God. You've got to come to God. You've got to be a part of his family, and you've got to be born again by his spirit. And let that grace that Paul talked about there in the first chapter of Romans, let that grace work in you and perform the perfect work within you. And then it says in that last part of verse 20, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. The Bible says, I wish you be in good health and prosper, such as your soul prosper. It's God's will. Healing is the children's bread, and God said many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to prosper. All these things are for us and for that purpose, that we might be established and we might prosper in the kingdom of God. Then in Psalms in chapter 40, reading here the first couple verses, I wait patient for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Thank God he has put, verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, ever praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. It is the Lord that has done these things for us. And, you know, we have to learn to wait upon the Lord. When I first got saved, I didn't understand waiting on the Lord. I wanted everything right now. And I said, Lord, give me patience, but please hurry. But as I walk with the Lord and as I trusted in the Lord, I realized that scripture, "Then your patience possess ye soul," I realized what it meant. And if we wait on the Lord, God will work it out for us. We can run ahead of God, get ahead of God, and we can try to work it out ourselves. I've got many things in my life that I need God to work out. I've got situations I need God to work out. He saved me by his grace, washed me and cleansed me. But the day-to-day challenges that we have that are in our face, and the devil is trying to get us to run ahead and get ahead of God and be impatient and fret and mumber and just be a disobedient child of God. But if we wait upon the Lord, God is going to come and he's going to do these things he's promised by his word. Then in Psalms 93, and here we're looking in Psalms 93, we're looking at the first five verses. And these are very important verses, and it leaves a great understanding to us. And verse 1 starts out to read this way. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lifted up their ways. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thou testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Here it gives us the understanding, and I want to look also at that verse when it said, you know, God's word has been forevermore settled in heaven. There's one thing that's established. That's God, his word. He laid the foundation of this universe on his word. He's established all these things, and they are established in God, settled in heaven. God cannot fail. Two immutable things. that he is God, first of all, and that he cannot lie. And we've got that promise to us today that God cannot lie and God cannot fail. Then if we go to Proverbs, we find in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, and here we will look at Proverbs in verse 20 through verse 27. My son, attend to my words, incline thou ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of the heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and to health to all their flesh. Stop right there a minute and we'll go right back to the scripture. I was talking to somebody in our ministry the other day. The problem with so many people is, first of all, they don't have a relationship with God, and ignorant to understanding of God and his word, and just simply ignorant in the understanding of how to live day-to-day life. We watch people every day, and this, I know some people get mad about this because they say, well, Brother Gold, you meddling, I got a right to do what I want to. But let me explain something to you. It's pure out ignorance for someone to go buy two cartons of cigarettes a week and pay close to $90 or $90 plus and got kids at home starving. Got bills they can't pay, but they've got to spend that money to buy those cigarettes or buy their beer or whatever they buy. Now, that's simply ignorance. And I know a lot of people get, oh, Brother Gold, you call me ignorant. No, I said, what you're doing is you are using ignorance instead of using sound, something that's sound. Get yourself established in God's word. Get yourself established in the truth. And they got all these step programs of how to get delivered to this. I've got a two-step program for smoking. Simply don't buy them, don't put them in your mouth. Because at $45 a carton, nobody's going to buy them for you, and nobody's going to run around and stick them in your mouth. So if you don't buy them, don't put them in your mouth, you will not smoke them, and you can get delivered to that. But just getting delivered to cigarettes is not going to fix your problem. You got to fix something inside by taking the Word of God and become established in God and let God's Word and God's grace reign in your life. Now, if you get mad at me, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to help you. I watch hundreds of people come through our doors every week getting boxes of food, and the majority of them are caught in that point. They're ignorant of God. They're ignorant of the reality. They don't know how to manage their finances. They don't know how to do nothing, and they're just going round and round and round in circles, and most of them are dropping over at a very young age and dying because of the stress. I'm telling you, get established in God and keep thy heart with all diligence, verse 23, for out it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Notice that right there. Ponder the ways of your feet, and let it be established. Let your ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thou foot from evil. And here we can, and down towards the close of our teaching, we're about to run out of time, in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We can learn from Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We need to be established in God. Then, real quick in closing, if we can get 1 Peter, and there in chapter 5, and looking at verse 10, chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and he may settle you. And then in James, we find these words in the 5th chapter of James and in the 8th verse of that 5th chapter. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draw nigh. That's the reason we need to be established. We need to be ready for the Lord to come. God bless this teaching today. Let go into hearts. Let go into souls. Let it fall on good soil, and let it be help to those who receive it, to that end that they might be established.